All right, everybody get comfy. It's time for a kickback. From episode 2, we started off with Bolas and Mia with that ooze and Kylexi in the flour mill. I think Marcus was talking about it last time on another kickback episode. The homeowner with the ooze was overwhelmingly suspicious, but I didn't want to do that immediately. So I'm glad that no one picked up on it, but he was up to some shady shit the entire time.
Oh. What kind of shady?
Well, I mean, he bought a exotic animal from bandits in the middle of Chernoff.
Yeah, I was underwhelmed.
I mean, it's level one stuff. If he does something crazy, people die. It's got to be something where no one dies, but it's still something.
That's a good point.
I disagree. Let's start off with a bang.
I don't agree.
And the funny thing is, like, that little... I guess my intentions with that ooze word to, like, hurt you guys if it was a fight, but also do a lot of, like, mental stuff, like projecting of images and something hopefully special for one character. We'll see. But yeah, that I'm glad that went off without a hitch and no one was downed or killed by an ooze. Those things have, like, 22 hit points. At least that's how I have it chalked up, I think. So very pleased with that one. And then the plan to bring Bolas to the flour mill in its current state. That's
you mean Rennis?
Sorry, Rennis. The idea by Bolas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
That was like a weekend at Bernie's situation. I thought that was really funny how it came together.
Yeah, yeah. At first, I thought you guys were going to drop him off at the infirmary and just let him take another hospital bill, which
I couldn't do that in good conscience.
It was going to be another 45 gold, which I don't think you would have.
No.
110 gold divided by 3, that's like...
I wouldn't have thought about that, but I think that Mia might have paid for that bill.
Oh, yeah, I've got you. You're rolling in it.
I am.
We haven't talked about the actual, you know, deep pockets at this table, but again, if you recall from the first kickback episode, Mia is the richest one here, without question.
She is. But she doesn't flaunt it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'd be a terrible idea.
Not really. It's a, you can't tell, but there will be signs.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Definitely
gotcha,
signs.
Gotcha, gotcha.
There are definitely signs.
There's definitely signs. That zoot suit gets cleaned often.
Often. And she's able to get mead instead, but nothing higher than that. I don't need to be in barley, of all places, where...
I was going to say, because barley does have fine bottles of wine. They've just been there for years. Because no one can afford to buy them.
Oh, so they're aged. They're perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the mainstay of barley, the flour mill. Where do we start?
With the shit.
So you get there and you immediately join Carl in the sifting portion of the conveyor belt. I guess, what were you expecting there?
I was expecting like a difficult process. You know, because I think we were talking about last time about how like much strength it's going to take to do. And I found a way around that pretty much.
It's not really a strength thing. It's just like playing what's it called, like Where's Waldo, but with rat poop constantly. Well, there's rat poop and chaff, but I decided to stick with the rat poop. It was easier than sticking with chaff because not everyone knows what chaff even is.
Okay. So. Yeah. I figured like I'll have to find some like mechanical way to like find a way for like the rat poop to filter itself out or something like that, but I'm glad I didn't have to do that.
Nice. Because I was going to ask if you had like a different spell in mind other than prestidigitation, but I mean, it works. Yeah.
None of my other spells really worked for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be hard pressed to think of a magical spell used specifically for cleaning up shit.
Maybe Mage Hand as like a third hand to help me out, but
that's
still, what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I was thinking like something clean, something easy, effortless, which this kind of was. I mean, yeah, it just was. Not kind of, it was. And then when you guys dropped off Rennis at the flour mill, and like...
That's when the party started.
Yeah. I was a little concerned about him hitting the conveyor belt and just, you know, going along for the ride and ending up in the packing bags. But I mean, like... This isn't like a cartoon, so like they're not gonna just pack him,
right?
That's just he's just gonna get fired, probably. But somehow he's able to keep his job thanks to another step in by Kyle Lexi. You saved two jobs today.
I knew he could do it.
Union leader Kyle Lexi.
Oh, no. We're not bringing that back.
But beyond that, and then the flavor toss of, I'm gonna make everyone bet as well to get some extra money. Just a little side hustle while I'm here.
Where Carl is like, oh, my God, like, where did this power come from? Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I missing my whole life? I've spent my whole life on this. So it started with him. He wants to bet everyone now. But he lost all his money. And then everybody else wants to get in on the bet. And they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Supervisor, he's like, I've seen it. Trust. It's amazing.
I would say the supervisor took time off after the conversation and witnessing it in person. Just because, like, it's without any context of, like, hey, he's doing magic. He's doing something that literally cannot be explained currently. He just needed to seek out religion after seeing it. So he's currently in the pews of the local Helm-sponsored church, and he's finding some sort of deity to just sort of guide him through it.
Yeah, I would love to see. What's the guy's name, your friend?
Olivar.
Olivar. I would love for him to hear that story and want to recruit me now because of that.
I was there. So That's why we're recruiting you.
Okay.
Because then you come into the tavern and you're dressed like... Mm-hmm. You know,
like a high scale, well, I'll say medium, it's still barley, but a medium scale aristocrat just stepping into the local bar.
You would be perfect for the faith healing grift that we're doing.
Which I'm not sure if everyone remembered that was one of the key things that you wanted to go into, but I'm glad that it got brought back up because I was like, it seems like that's your style of magic. Well, aside from your actual school of magic.
Okay.
That it seems like it's your flavor of magic, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Beyond the flour mill, we go to the Waterhouse cabin. Maya Brainchild.
I was just trying out because I do have a list of like a actual list of
to go with your disguise.
Yeah, set, all the disguises and everything. I was just trying that out real quick. It doesn't seem to have been the best idea. I did remember that Olivar said not to say his name. Mm-hmm. But you thought
your name was fine.
I thought I could use an alias. So yeah, that puts a kink in a lot of certain things there, but.
I mean, it's a quick and easy job for your new bodyguard, so welcome to the force.
Quick, yes, easy. I'm not confident about that just yet.
Because right now it's only you and Mia, which we haven't done a real combat thing yet, but I'd be interested to see how that goes. I mean, you're a barbarian, so you can kind of tank it, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. But yeah, so you guys are hightailing it back to you. What does Mia's house look like?
In barley, it's going to be her parents' home. It's not going to be anything upscale. Because again, she's trying different places. She has different personas based on the economics of the land. I can't be in a big mansion in barley. And I think that most people in town know Mia, so she's living in her parents' home.
Parents' home with parents or just parents' home?
I just realized as I was saying that I don't know if they're dead or alive. So either way is fine.
They're probably dead now.
Damn. I'm going to discover that then. Well, it's either going to be there or not.
On vacation, maybe. You know?
On vacation.
I mean, you're a half elf, so maybe they took a little vacation to the Feywild.
Yeah, I did. Mia sent some money home. Not a lot. Again, you know, she doesn't want her parents to ask any major questions. But she might have sent money home and they took a little vacation someplace, maybe to the beach.
Gotcha. As far as next moves, beyond, you know, what's obviously in front of you, what's the next move for Kylexi, Bolus, and Mia?
For me, I think, you know, I'm here. I'm on a trek. I'm tracking the lead down. So I'm going to have to go and hunt that down instead of working at the flour mill.
Yeah. Man, I'm so sorry for forcing you to work at the mill.
Yeah.
Part of me was wondering, like, is he going to be able to find the magical lead here? Like, I'm sure it's possible, but it's real loose, and I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
But I was pleased with what you did there.
You know, maybe it's like a get-to-the-town, get-to-know-everybody thing kind of first.
Yeah, you build rapport.
Yeah.
And then you steal from the local tailor.
I'm sure no one likes the tailor. I can't see him being like a revered man in the town.
Speaking of which, just completely overshadowing something that happened. Carriage that went up? A flying carriage in Barley?
I was having fun with it. Mm. I was having fun with it. Mm. I knew I had the money, but I was like, do I want this guy to think that I have money, you know?
So everyone's just hiding their bills in Barley?
Maybe so. I mean, they're only getting paid so much. Nobody really wants to be the person that has a lot. Of course, I did just, like, bet a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get around eventually.
Yeah, because I guess everyone who works at the flour mill knows you have some money.
Yeah.
It's truly not, like, gold standard, but, like, just a bit more than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Maybe people in Barley aren't as broke as we think that they are. Because the guy with the exotic blob, and I'm definitely going back for that purple worm.
Mm-hmm. So you're planning to bring that for real?
And you didn't even say infant purple worm. I think the words out of your mouth were just purple worm.
He didn't question it.
Or a gargantuan monster.
He didn't question it. And we didn't talk price. Mm. So that's something. You know, we always got to have something cooking in the background.
Gotcha. And Bolus, I guess, what's next for you? Beyond the bodyguard duties.
Beyond the bodyguard duties, because I was definitely about to say I need to get some extra help, because Bolus, he's used to taking people down to the tavern. He's not really used to throwing hands. But
breaking legs, though.
I don't think he likes breaking legs.
It's an honest work.
But he definitely is just focused on settling his debts, looking for a house. He doesn't have any major objectives yet. Hopefully that's to come in the future.
Gotcha. And Mia, I feel like I already know the answer. Get this miracle Ponzi scheme off the ground and get it functioning.
Yeah. She has a few ideas of how to do that. I think just like staying in that observer mode, she saw what happened at the mill and realizes that this could be a good little testing ground for that. People do seem to have more money than they are letting on. So there might be some more money in Barley than she initially thought.
What makes you say that? They paid 20 gold for an exotic slime? Or the 50 gold scooter?
The scooter, but also, why do you have such an elaborate suit at the tailor's if no one can afford it? Somebody's affording it.
Same reason they have really aged wine at the bar.
Somebody's affording. Well, I mean, it's Barley, right? I guess they're mostly beer, but they're a place that...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What? I mean, somebody has
somebody
money.
Somebody can afford it. Who that is, we'll figure it out.
Gotcha. And I guess this might as well just be tradition at this point. Favorite NPC, what we got? Rough. It is pretty rough.
I'd have to say the man at the mansion. Because he was definitely holding out on information. He knew a lot more than
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you guys had asked him anything, like, before getting into it with the ooze, he had the information about the salted cage, where it came from. He had all the cards. He just didn't want to say anything to implicate himself.
Yeah, definitely didn't pick up on that, Anita. zero in a little bit more.
Nah. Okay.
Speaking of the ooze, what happened to the ooze?
Last I remember, it crawled into a cage. I don't remember anybody closing the cage. I don't remember anybody picking up the
cage. Nobody closed the cage? No one opened the cage. You guys grabbed Brennis, put him on a scooter, and just rolled away.
Because I remember you saying, like, oh, we're going to get rid of the ooze for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember anyone saying, like, I'm going to take it.
I mean, we got the gold, so.
Yeah, I guess that's important. Something after that.
What happened? Why did we leave like that?
I feel like the Brennis thing was a little too important to then remember to then deal with the ooze, which, mm-hmm. I mean... How much can you guys really do with the ooze? Are you guys going to bring it back to Sharonoff? Are you guys going to bring it to a cave that you guys don't know of? It's a lot of what if with that ooze.
Yeah.
But now that's my problem since you guys left it.
Let's see. My favorite character. I really, really want to say Carl.
Understandable.
I'm going to have to go with the supervisor. Because he had his own issues and I had my... deep dialogue with him. Mm. I feel like he was somewhat resolved leaving that conversation in some way.
He's going to find a religious peace unknown to those, I guess, who haven't met Kylexi yet.
Mm.
So there's that. There's that. But I don't know if the shift supervisor is going to show up again because he might just find such true zen that he might give up his position at the flour mill because it's so demanding.
Really?
He has kids. He did have a son. He just works so much. That leaves you.
I'm going to go with the shift manager as well.
Gotcha.
I liked his befuddlement at the magic. I hope to see him Tuesday at 5 for my sermon. And I hope to push him over the edge. He could be Mia Soulchild's first test subject for this faith healing kind of thing.
Okay.
With a little maybe cult. I don't know. Sprinkled in.
Do you want to do a cult?
She's thinking about it. It's a lot of...
Doing prosperity gospel and then you're going to do a twist for a cult?
Prosperity gospel, healing, faith healing, cults. It's all the same. It's like levels to it.
Gotcha. Beyond that, I don't think I have much else to add. I guess did you guys have any questions about, I guess, any characters or any things that happened in this episode?
So what does life look like for Carl? Since, like, the shift supervisor is going to church, right? Like, what's Carl going to do?
Carl has his own demons that he's battling currently. But I feel like he's going to realize that maybe sifting through chaff, grain, and rat poop isn't what life's supposed to be like. I think he might get a promotion. I think he might just go to a different line of work. I think he's going to grow from here. This is a moment of growth for Carl.
He doesn't have to grow. I mean, we're not going to be here forever.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to see him again.
No, I want to see him again. But I guess my thing is, like, he was the champ. Before,
three-time annual champ. Yeah,
you know,
don't forget it.
And I have a feeling that I won't be here for long, right? So he'll have the title back. It might just be a story that he tells his grandkids.
So you see Kylexi having a legacy born through the loins of Carl, passing down this story to his youth, and then to his youth that all work at the flour mill.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's all possible. It's all... I'm not going to say no. It's entirely possible. I mean, when word gets out that you're performing magic to make rat poop disappear at the flour mill, it's going to be the talk of the town.
Okay.
Even more than your leather outfit.
Mm.
So, Kylexi's really making a debut in Barley.
I don't wear that anymore.
Anymore. Okay. Now you got your poofy aristocrat clothes and... pockets full of electrum. You're big time now.
Yeah. The only remnants is the leather mask.
I was shocked that you asked for that, by the way. Did you really want it? What's it for? And you know what? Never mind. Here you go.
We had the Lust Ranger, right? Mm-hmm. And
Trademarked.
I think that we had discussed possibly me being involved with that as well.
Yeah, true. I out there.
I feel like the mask is a part of that ensemble. If I'm not going to wear the full leather getup anymore.
A part of me thought that you would just become a leather, I guess, superhero. Mm. Like a vigilante.
That would have been hilarious.
I mean, it's still possible. I mean,
that is not where I went.
We're not doing BDSM in this podcast.
He's talking about the Lust Ranger.
Yeah.
Wearing a leather mask.
The Lust Ranger is a very normal guy with a bit of an odd job.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like all he does is provide aphrodisiacs.
Or you say just
you're going
like
to go the
business.
Next level and be like, here's the aphrodisiac, plus I do a little extra.
No, maybe it's just like I'm a mascot for the Lust Ranger.
Lust Man.
You know?
I don't love it. I don't like it. I'm not with that. No.
Yeah. They call me Luster and Leather. Yeah, Luster and Leather.
I'm going to let you workshop those names. But I think that's all we have to say about episode 2.
Okay.
And I guess we'll see you guys next time.
Just shut me up when I start talking about the Lust Ranger.
Damn right.